Welcome to Changing the Course, Building an Anti-Racist Education. My name is Nicholas Jones, and I currently serve at Noble Schools in a role of Manager of Student Support and Culture. Noble Schools is a leading charter network in Chicago, Illinois, serving over 12,000 students at 17 high schools and one middle school. Noble's in the midst of executing a massive overhaul of our policies and practices to provide an anti-racist experience for our students. Changing the Course is a video podcast series about our journey through these changes and what it looks like for grade 6 through 12 public schools to build an anti-racist classroom. Today I'm here with Kelsey Taylor, Athletic Director at Baker College Prep, one of Noble's 18 campuses. Kelsey, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Nick. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. First, I want to thank you for joining Changing the Course to create an anti-racist education for our Chicago students and families. And so before we kind of get into our deeper conversation, I want the audience to get to know a little bit more about you. So can you give us a little bit about your background and how you came into education?
Sure. So I have an unconventional background coming into education. I grew up in the northwest suburbs, Lombard, Illinois, attended school there through high school, and always had a dream of teaching and coaching, but also had a dream of attending the University of Notre Dame. When I got accepted, I was elated, but they unfortunately do not offer an education program there. And so I pursued a degree in business in IT management and international business, which led me to a career out of undergrad in consulting. Okay. So I served as a higher education technology analyst for just about 2 years. And through that journey, realized that I just wasn't fulfilled and felt like it wasn't my calling in life. So from there, I transitioned and joined Teach for America, which brought me to Southwest Indianapolis, where I served in the Southwest Indianapolis community at a community school, which was 7th through 12th grade students. Lived and taught there for about 2 years, coached there, so finally got to have that opportunity. And it also started to open my eyes to a lot of the disparities between my experience in education and the Black and brown students that I was serving. And so I came back to Chicago, back to home, knew I wanted to serve the similar demographic and population, which brought me to Baker. And so I worked at Baker for, this is my 5th year now, and I taught at Baker predominantly Algebra 1, served on the DEI team, the MTSS team, coached basketball, and have helped out with a conglomerate of different roles in that time. And I'm back in graduate school now at Loyola University, pursuing a master's degree in school counseling. So that's, where we're currently at, which has been really, really fun, and I learned a lot along the way.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that bit of yourself with our audience. And so we want to get into the role of athletic director. You've been at Baker for 5 years, been in numerous roles, and here you are this year serving as athletic director. Tell the audience a little bit about the role of athletic director. What does that look like from a day-to-day stance?
Sure. So this year, as you said, I'm part-time at Baker, serving predominantly as the athletic director. And when I'm here, steep learning curve, but the network has been excellent. The group of athletic directors is incredibly supportive, excellent group of people to work with. And the day-to-day is a lot of compliance and learning and organization and planning. So any given day, the priorities, they start with the people. So thinking through recruitment, talking to staff members and helping them get certified to coach, encouraging them to be interested in coaching and kind of walking them through what that looks like. Students, medical compliance has been a really big thing for our school in particular. So thinking through ways to kind of eliminate barriers for them, and then also supporting families and being able to access things like sports physicals, making sure that scheduling is, confirmed and transportation is good to go. We share a facility with the public school we share a building with, and so a lot of that is also just strong communication with their administration team, ensuring that, buildings are locked up and safe and clean, and a lot of communication with other schools as well, ensuring, that everything is ready for games and things of that nature. Some of the fun parts is also the event planning. So thinking through things like senior night and soliciting input from kids, you know, what are you looking for? What would make you excited about this night? What are your families looking for? So those one-off conversations to kind of continue seeing how we can improve the athletic program at Baker over the course of the year as well.
And through those conversations you have with students, how has that influenced like the sports programming here at Baker?
Definitely. They have excellent ideas. I think when you are thinking through athletics from a student perspective, first and foremost, making sure that you're trying to offer what they're looking for. So that's been something that has been excellent this year. We've really expanded the enrichment opportunities after school. And our Dean of Students, shout out to her, she has done a great job helping us connect with community partners as well to even bring in some third parties. So that's step one. I think when you think of at a, you know, more lower level or more intense with each sport, thinking through for these events, you know, asking them, what are you looking for? What would make you feel special? So senior night was a great example for basketball. We had the seniors come in and just have a conversation, you know, what are your families excited about? And so ensuring we got these blow up posters, you know, with their pictures on it, that was really cool. And then we got, you know, flowers for them. One girl was like, can I get a rose? Absolutely. Yeah. So it's the little things, you know, that really make a big difference. And I think from an adult perspective, sometimes we look past those things. So really, you know, amplifying that student voice and hearing what they're asking for and recognizing that those little actions and little things that we might seem as minuscule are a really big deal for them.
So we're entering our school year with our anti-racist commitment and making sure that we are being intentional about our systems and policies that are in place that impact our students. How has that work impacted your role as athletic director and the impact that athletics have on our students here at Baker?
Yeah, great question. So I think the biggest impact is that it allows me and other staff members to really prioritize the student as a holistic person. So not only do we feel like, or the students feel like, you know, academics and test scores are this big deal as a college preparatory school, but now there's this equal, if not more, weight behind supporting them socially and emotionally, supporting them mentally, and really doing this kind of holistic approach to ensuring that not only are they doing well academically, but also have this well-rounded experience in the building.
And so you talked earlier about like different barriers that students face, and so I wanted to kind of touch on like the practices or policy that were in place that kind of serve as barriers for like participation in athletics that you experienced in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, when I was a math teacher from 2017 until 2021, I was also an advisor for male identifying students those 4 years as well. And I started off my first year with an advisory of 33 gentlemen. And it was fun. It was rambunctious. You had a lot of personality in that room. I learned so much from each and every one of them. And what I think was the most difficult for me during that time was seeing a lot of these students who were struggling with these policies that were in place with discipline and academics find their space in the school and feel like it could be a home place for them. And I think of two students in particular that came throughout that time. One of them loved basketball. It was his passion. He talked about it all the time and related it to like that kind of being his reason, his why, and his greater, you know, view for his future. And this kid was a straight A student, a hard worker, just the kind of soul you could meet. And he unfortunately chose to transfer out his junior year, so 2020, just before the pandemic hit. And he pursued a school that was a little bit more robust in their athletic offerings and had less limitations or barriers to his entry. And the other student I think of hit a lot of those barriers. So he was a kid who was really working hard to figure himself out, you know, just a classic high school student. And you know, at Baker and Noble, we had what was called LaSalle, where as a math teacher, I was encouraged and enforced if a student missed a single problem, then that student was issued a LaSalle, which was essentially a homework detention. And so what that meant for a student like student B that I'm discussing now is, you know, he would maybe think he was done with his homework and, you know, maybe be rushing in the morning to catch it up because he was like, man, this bus ride, you know, whatever. He gets there, goes to English class, maybe he missed one question, now he has LaSalle. And so what that meant for him was if he had a game that night, he's now in LaSalle from, let's say, 3:40 until 4:30, and he's missed the bus, so now he can't participate in that game. Or on a Friday, if they had practice, he was serving a detention potentially from earning demerits for, you know, a wide variety of things that week, and now cannot practice. And we all know, as you know, athletic directors and coaches, if you miss practice, you're missing this teamwork aspect. You're missing a lot of that buildup over the season as a sport. And from a student perspective, from our conversations, he really lost that motivation, you know, to be a part of that team, because he felt like that piece of his identity, he wasn't able to grow in the way that he was hoping, and really felt kind of limited and identified strictly with his, I guess the best way to describe it is almost like a gap, or what his wrongs were in the building. And so he curated this different identity for himself. And I think it was really difficult to see him kind of lose that passion for a sport based on the different limitations he had in the building here. And he also transferred out, like many students, didn't make it through the discipline policy, had so many detentions, he could not physically serve them before the next year. And so he left to a different school so that he could promote to the next grade level and be a junior at the school or a senior at the school that was not within, you know, the same limitations that we had.
So those old policies, again, are currently not policies anymore. And now as the athletic director, you've had the opportunity to like do the recruitment side. What's the pitch for Baker Athletics for a student athlete? What's the criteria to be a student athlete at Baker College Prep?
Absolutely. So happy that those policies are gone. I think it opens the door for students to find a place, you know, beyond academics that makes school feel like a home place for them. And like their soul is nurtured and their passions can be validated and affirmed. And so I think the pitch here is, you know, find something that you're passionate about, whether it's drama falls within the Noble League right now, art falls within the Noble League, basketball, soccer, whatever it may be. And even though we are a small school, so Baker is only about 240 students. And so my pitch is, you know, talk to your friends, see what there's a need or a desire for. And I can't always promise that we'll have a, you know, official team immediately, but what we can promise is that we'll go out of our way to find an adult who will sponsor you. And whether it can be an official season or not, maybe we make it an enrichment where you're learning the rules and you're gaining that teamwork perspective. So the promise, and I think the recruitment aspect is, you know, tell us what you want. Like, let's solicit and amplify those voices. And we want this to be a place where you're excited to come and hold this high bar of excellence in academics, because we know that's important, and also offer you these things that make school feel like something and a place that you're so excited to be at all the time.
Mm-hmm. And so the policies that we currently have, and as we're rewriting them, refining them as we go throughout this journey of, you know, creating this anti-racist education, what opportunities have been available for students? Opportunities to remove barriers, opportunities for greater participation in sports. What does that look like this year? And align to anti-racist work?
Absolutely. So as far as eligibility goes, students need to have passed and currently passed 2.5 credit hours, and then also either have a cumulative unweighted GPA of 2.3 or a current unweighted 2.3 GPA. And I think the key term is or there. What that allows is recognition that our students may have experienced some hardship at one point in time, but they have the opportunity to bounce back. And I think it opens the door, like student B that we mentioned before, like you go through something or you're having a time, and instead of eliminating this option for you to participate in something that gives you that joy at school and allows you to express yourself, now you have the chance to do that. And I think it also allows coaches to feel like they can holistically support the student in whatever barriers they might be experiencing at that time. So I think some of the barriers we've eliminated are these academic expectations without sacrificing that need for an excellent education, and not, you know, drawing back on making sure that the students know they are a student first before they're an athlete as well. Also the medical barriers we talked about. So just being able to provide access and information to families, resources that allow them to get through these paperwork or the hoops that they might need to jump through in order to be able to participate in the things that they're excited about.
Considering a student athlete at Baker College Prep, how have you seen their attendance or their GPA, their level of connectedness to Baker in comparison to students who don't participate in athletics?
Yeah, great question. So from my experience, the students who do have an enrichment or do participate in sports, they're definitely more likely to be at school. Their attendance rates are higher. They've been proven from data and different surveys that we've collected over the past few years to be higher. Their GPAs also tend to be higher than those students who are not connected with something outside of school. And we've also seen that the retention of those students who have this buy-in to something beyond academics and greater than themselves, they tend to stick around and stay within the schools much longer. And so I think to tie it back to the advisory I mentioned earlier, that group of gentlemen that I, you know, helped mentor, when I think of a lot of those students who are no longer at the school with us now, I think that if they had the opportunity to participate in the new ARC lineup that Noble has offered, I think they would have been able to find that home place in this culture in the school that is really affirming of every part of them and allows them to express that joy and gives them something bigger to commit to. And I think they would have found a lot more success ultimately holistically. So not only in the athletic that they were excited about or in the club that they were excited about, but I think that that support would have given them, you know, the confidence and the drive to be all that they could be and really optimize that academic experience as well, because we've seen through data that the students who are able to participate in athletics really do thrive in schools.
What are you hearing from kids?
Our kids, I think, are saying a lot of things, right? They tell you the truth and they're honest. And I think at different grade levels, we're hearing different feedback. And so the kids who have experienced these oppressive systems and racist policies in the past, I think are ironically missing some of those systems and the structure that they felt it provided. And I think that just speaks to how much they internalized what those systems upheld and how they, you know, they were bred to kind of follow these systems, and that forced them into this certain pattern to become, you know, what they felt like they were expected to be in a school system. And so I think the younger students, you know, they're walking around and they seem to enjoy the freedom, but you do see this interaction where it's a little bit different, and the upperclassmen sometimes will almost kind of scoff at that, being like, hey, you know, this is how we learned how to be these certain ways. And so helping them unlearn some of those policies, I think, and then relearn what it means to be in this community pact and how we can integrate structure and predictability into their lives without it feeling like it is so demerit-based or, you know, negative for them and limiting in the sense where they can't express themselves and still feel safe and welcomed and loved in a school setting.
So our students are telling us that they're missing a little bit of that structure that you talked about. How do we respond to that that feedback from students?
So I think athletics is the perfect place to start to respond to that with. I know relationships are huge, especially in enrichments and after-school activities. And I think it gives students this opportunity to feel connected with not only their peers that are on the team, but also the adults who, you know, coach or help out and volunteer, and really lean into those relationships to help build that structure and gives them more of an organic space to really figure out, how do I use these soft skills, right? How do I stay organized? How do I prioritize my time? How do I make these choices with integrity and always choose to do the right thing? I think by not only seeing their coaches being able to mentor them in that way and acting in the way that they're asking their students to, but also just that buy-in with teamwork and knowing that, like I've mentioned earlier, it's bigger than you and you're a part of something that is, you know, beyond just yourself. And so I think with athletics, it gives you this consistency. You know that every day after school, you got practice from 3 to 5, and you know that when your game comes, like, you need to have all of these items with you and your grades need to be in line, and your parents, you had to communicate with them. And I think it really intrinsically builds a lot of soft skills that will carry students, you know, through high school, but also well beyond, and give them a really strong foundation once they leave.
During our conversation with Kelsey Taylor, the athletic director at Baker, she talked a lot about having the importance of student voice. So we are excited today to have student athletes with us. Christian, welcome to Changing the Course.
Thank you for having me. My name is Christian. I'm a 10th grader here at Baker College Prep.
Can you share with the audience what sports you participated in here at Becker College Prep?
Ninth grade, I did soccer, and this year, my 12th grade year, I'm planning on doing track and field.
All right. And do you have any post-secondary plans that you would like to share?
I'm planning on going to DePaul University for computer science and computer engineering.
Christian, as a student athlete at Becker College Prep, can you talk to us a little bit about what that has done for your student experience as a student athlete at Becker?
Being an athlete at Becker, it really helped me because, to be honest with you, I wasn't really invested in my academics as much, but a lot of people on my team, they supported me to constantly keep going because I was on the team. They supported to make sure that I had my grades in order to be able to keep playing soccer.
And what did it feel like in an event that maybe you didn't meet the mark as far as academics? What kind of accountability as teams had for you in order to make sure like you kind of stayed on track with academics?
Actually, that's crazy, because one of my friends, when I wasn't passing one of my classes, he ended up actually coming and actually helped me do my work. So that was actually pretty cool. But they was like, it's one of the things where if you don't complete your work, it makes you feel bad specifically because you letting your team down. If y'all got a game, you can't play. And if they lose, you're going to feel like, oh, I should have been there. My grades should have been up. So it pushes accountability.
So as a ninth grade student at Becker, you played soccer on the soccer team, not heavily focused on your academics. What were things that were happening inside of Becker, thinking about the rules and some of our policies, that may have been barriers to you participating in sports?
It was a lot. It was a lot of stuff as far as, first of all, detentions. If we had games on the weekend, it was a lot of stuff that you couldn't do. LaSalle's, you couldn't go to practice, not turning in homework, stuff like that. Grades low, obviously. You have to always be accountable for what you did. And I feel like having the system that we did have at Becker, I didn't understand it. I really didn't understand it at all when I was a freshman. But now, being, you know, a senior now, I really do understand that the system that they had in place was strict, but it was to build you up to be this person to where you get the senior year. And I didn't understand it before.
So obviously you've grown, right? So yeah, when you come in as a ninth grader, you're 14 years old. We did have a huge break from being in person and having that community aspect to us being in person and inside the Bay community. And now you're back in the school year, full school year as a 12th grader. So you've learned a lot of lessons over the time, right?
Yeah.
And so some of the policies that you talked about in the past were the demerit system, the LaSalle system, which prevented you from participating in games or being accountable to your teammates. We don't have those currently right now. So how are you feeling going into your track season in the spring, knowing that detentions are not something I have to worry about this year? Having LaSalle's are things that I don't have to worry about this year. I get to focus on my academics and meet the mark in order to play the sport that I'm passionate about.
That's a definite stress reliever for a lot of kids that's been here since freshman year. And I feel like if you're a person that's coming in new, it's going to be a reliever to you. They sadly won't be able to have 100% of that structure that, you know, the olders have. But it's definitely a good thing because you don't have to focus as much. And it, like, a lot of that stuff, it was built to structure you up, but it gave a little, like you said, academics. You can work more on your academics. Instead of being in the detention, I can be working towards getting my work done. Mm-hmm. And that's way more beneficial to try to get your work done than being in the detention and just sitting there. You know what I mean?
I understand. Absolutely. So not only did we have the pleasure of speaking with Christian, but I also have another 12th grade student here at Becker College Prep who I would love to introduce to our audience today.
Hi, I'm Deshaya. Thanks for having me.
Deshaya, what grade are you in?
I'm in 12th grade.
And currently, what sport did you participate in this year at Becker College Prep?
Basketball.
Basketball. And what role did you play in that basketball team?
Point guard and captain.
All right. And would you like to share any post-secondary plans you have with the audience?
I plan to go to Xavier University of New Orleans, Louisiana as a political science major.
So as a 10th grader, it was a time in which we Noble had policies that included students earning demerits, which led to detentions. If you didn't do your homework, you would get a LaSalle. And what was your experience like with that past system?
I did not like it at all. I've been to every school that I went to wasn't like strict at all. So I guess I felt like some I still got it a little bit, some sort of entitlement that, like, I could do whatever I want because, like, I do have good grades and I've always been considered smart. So, I had some sense of entitlement. But I know my first week of school, I got a detention. My first week I transferred, so I hated it. And it was only terrible because the way that it was, like, the way that it was structured. But, like, the idea, I always understood the idea, but it was just, like, the way that it was running. Like, detention's 2 hours in silence, writing, copying down a handbook. I always knew that something was, like, wrong with that. It wasn't productive, and it never made sense to me. But LaSalle's, I didn't like LaSalle's either, but, like, who would? But I always was like, okay, I understand. Like, I didn't do my homework like that. But in a sense, it kind of babied me a little bit. Like, oh, I can just not do my homework, stay a little 30 minutes after school, do my homework, turn it in for the same points. So it was really like, it didn't necessarily help me grow as a student or like a person because it was like I was getting babied. I had more time to do stuff past deadline, and I could always count on like, oh, I don't feel like doing it. Then somebody gonna force me to do it tomorrow.
So I had the pleasure of speaking to your classmate today, Christian, who talked about how sports played a part into being accountable to the community, specifically like his community as a team, the sports that he's played on. Mm-hmm. Did your attitude change at all during basketball season about those LaSalle's and those detentions as they could take you away from being there for your team?
I think my demerits were pretty contempt, but my LaSalle's was definitely less because I didn't want to miss practice. And, you know.
Because what happened if you miss practice?
If I miss practice, it was like the next day I would be burnt out or I'd be tired or I'll miss a play or something. Or like the next day we have a game and I'll be lost, especially because I started.
So you came in as a 10th grader. And in that 10th grade year, we had policies in place that allowed demerits and detentions and LaSalle's to be barriers to student athletics and participation. As a 12th grader, we no longer have those policies. How have those impacted your overall experience as a student athlete at Baker in comparison to your 9th grade year?
Like I said, I didn't like it, but now I kind of wish that it was back, even though I didn't agree with, like, how it was. I feel like being at Baker now, I can see, like, it's totally different. Like, the underclassmen are totally different from how I was when I was underclassmen. Like, although I was getting demerits and getting detentions, like, some stuff, like, it's just not the same. I feel like now, without, like, having LaSalle's and having demerits, it's, like, no real structure, although we have, like, R3s now. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like being babied again. Like, oh, you can do this, and we go talk about it, then it's okay. And since I have a little sister, I know that she's a little hard-headed. So she come to school, she does what she wants. She'll go to R3, and then it'll be the same thing next week. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why I didn't, like, after a while, like, of doing the detentions, I stopped getting them so much is because, like, I didn't want to stay for 2 hours after school every Friday. And I don't think that it should be 2 hours at school on Friday. I just think that we need something because I just didn't want to stay. That's why I stopped messing up. And I don't think that you should put fear in people to make them do better, like, behavior-wise. But I think that something needs to be there to replace it because it feels like it's no structure. And even with LaSalle's, like, how I said it's babying me, I feel like every student responds to things differently. And just because, like, I didn't like it, and because, like, I feel baby is because of the type of person that I am. Like, I'm a procrastinator and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But every student is not like me. So I think that we should still have LaSalle's, but the detentions, I think that, like, the way that we had it should be changed. Like, maybe, like, the time and, like, what we was doing so we can make our time more productive.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the you feel like there's a lack of structure for some incoming freshmen and our 10th graders. Do you feel like if they participated in sports, like, that would supplement that structure and routine that you say is needed right now at Baker?
I think that it does temporarily, but not for, like, a long term. Because, of course, like, when you on a sports team, like, you want to play. It's fun. Like, win or lose, it's fun regardless. You feel like you're part of a family. But, like, once it's over, no. And, like, something that our team struggled with was, like, being on time for school, like, being on time for school, coming to school so that you can practice and that you can play in the games, like, not getting in trouble, not talking back. And one thing that I personally feel is that we don't take our sports as seriously as we should at Baker. So I know for one of the games, we had several players show up late because we was getting out of school all of January early because of something about COVID. So it was like you go home, you come back, and, like, it was no structure. Like, you know, at first we used to get in trouble for not being on time for school. Like, you get your demerits. And although, like, you would get talked to about it, now, like, you're not coming on time for games, which is hurting the whole team. So I feel like it is some structure as in terms of, like, oh, okay, I'm not going to get into a fight because I don't want to get kicked off the team. But, like, once that's over, like, you don't have nothing else to want to push yourself for.
So what would be the next thing? So, like, okay, like, I played basketball. My basketball season ended. Right now I'm not connected to a sports team or to even another adult as a coach. Like, what advice would you give a student in between seasons to keep them motivated and keep that structure in place so they can have a great experience at Baker?
I think that to keep yourself motivated, you should do all the extracurricular, well, not all of them, but do most of them. Like, I do Pratt, I do student government, I basically do everything that the school has to offer. So I would say, like, find you a good set of friends, find a hobby. Even if it's, like, outside of school, just do something productive with your time and always try to find things that's going to better yourself, not only as a student, as an athlete. Like, if that's working out or even going across the street to the gym we got and practicing, always, like, better yourself, find something to better your craft.
Getting Down to Practice is our portion of the podcast in which our guests are allowed to give a tip or trick for our 6-12 educators as they continue to work on creating anti-racist education. Considering your role as athletic director, what tips do you have for our audience and our listeners today?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of my work that I've done over the last couple of years in tandem with the anti-racist movement of Noble has relied on a lot of learning from both people and books. And in Bettina Love's book, We Want to Do More Than Survive, one of my favorite tips from that book comes from Ella Jo Baker herself, the namesake of this school. And in that book, it talks about how she was a leader by action, a leader of the people, amplifying the voices of those around her rather than feeling like she needed to fill that role herself. And so I've really taken that to heart. And I think as an athletic director, what I've tried to do this year is, you know, be there with the people, get the voices of the students and the coaches and really ask them and solicit, you know, what do you want? What do you need? How can I eliminate barriers for you to make your job easier and make this enjoyable and not stressful? And so I think the little things like we talked about earlier really matter when I'm thinking about, you know, payments for coaches or items that make practice easier for students or for coaches to do that. I think that's huge. And also just being there. I think as an athletic director or an administrator, your presence means a lot, and being willing to work the clock during a game or do the book with the team on the bench. I have been to nearly every home game I can, with the exception of a few that I've had graduate classes during. But I mean, it's been humbling and it's great because it keeps you on the ground. It shows your people that you care, you're for them and with them. And you're a team, you know, you work together in tandem to make sure that the students have the best experience possible, but also that the staff has the best experience possible, because we know athletics require a lot of time, a lot of love, and just a lot of effort from everyone involved. And I know for me as a student, like, that was who I was growing up, and I'm so appreciative to the people who took the time and gave that effort to make my experience excellent. And so just trying to give back and be able to be that for someone else and open that space for them as well has been really powerful for me.
Kelsey, thank you for joining Changing the Course today. I really appreciated your authentic approach to being an athletic director at Baker College Prep. Before you go, we want to make sure that you have opportunity to read our grounding quote for our audience.
Absolutely. So the quote is, "To love all children, we must struggle together to create the schools we are taught to believe are impossible. Schools built on justice, love, joy, and anti-racism."
Kelsey, thank you for joining Changing the Course.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. We'll be right back.
Changing the Course is a video podcast series produced by Noble Schools, a leading charter school network in Chicago, Illinois. If you're interested in seeing the video for this episode or learning more about Noble, you can visit us at nobleschools.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Changing the Course is hosted by Nicholas Jones, Manager of Student Support and Culture at Noble Schools. This episode was produced by Ash Kenyon and Rachel Powers, and it was edited by Ash Kenyon. The music you heard throughout this episode was created by Angel Mancia, one of our students at Mutian College Prep. It was mixed and edited by David Reddick, a music teacher at Mutian. If you have any questions you would like us to answer during this series, please send us an email at communications@nobleschools.org, along with the subject line, Question for Changing the Course. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.